Hey, welcome everyone to the 8th episode of the podcast, dude. My name is Aaron Dowd, and I am here to make you a better podcaster, or at least try. I'm going to share what I've learned with you, and hopefully that helps you. And today's topic is 10 things to know before hiring a podcast editor. So I've been reading a lot of articles lately that seem to give the idea that it's easy to start a podcast, or at least it's not super difficult. You know, how to launch your first podcast. There's a lot of advice about how to do that, and I think it's great, and I think you should, but I think keeping a podcast going is actually the harder part and the more crucial thing. Yeah, it's important to launch solid and have some episodes prepared and get all that stuff figured out. But consistency and showing up regularly and making sure you put out a show on a regular basis that people follow and engage with, I think that's really, really important. And that's where a podcast editor can help. So I got a great question from Robert in the chat room. He asked, when do you know you need an editor versus doing it yourself? And this is going to have a lot to do with a couple of things. Three things, really. How much time you have available, your experience level with audio, and money. And I know some of you might not be able to afford to pay someone to help you with your podcast right now, especially if you see your podcast as an expense instead of an investment in your future. But podcasting does take up a lot of time. There's no shortcut to making it quick and easy. And I think it's that old adage of you can have it quick, you can have it fast, or you can have it cheap, but you can't have all three. So let me talk a little bit about why I started editing podcasts first. I really started because I really loved a show called The Shop Talk Show. I liked listening to it, and I wanted to help them make it better. At the time, they were using a Skype call and publishing that, and there were a lot of audio issues and a lot of dropouts, and it just wasn't a great audio experience. So I thought that if I could get them recording tracks on their computer and I could put that together, I could do some mixing, some mastering, some editing, I could polish it up, I could make it sound good and save them some time. So I sent Chris and Dave, the guys that do the show, I sent them an email and asked them if I could handle the editing for them. Now, listening to podcast was and still is one of my favorite things to do. So helping other people with podcasting, with making podcasts, it seemed like a good idea for me. It seemed like something I could do. It felt really good to be able to contribute to something I really cared about. And eventually, I realized that I could make a living from helping people make podcasts. I put up a page on my website. I started writing tutorials to help people, but really also to prove that I knew what I was doing. I did, in a sense, know what I was doing, but I was also learning constantly. I never stopped trying to get better, doing a better job. I was actively looking for ways to help people make better shows. It was always about making podcasts better. That's still something I try to do. It's what I'm trying to do with this show. So let me talk about the kinds of things I did for people. First and most importantly, I put the audio files together and I handled the editing. So that's cutting mistakes, cutting out false starts, Skype drops, long pauses, anything like that. I also did mixing and mastering, so that was like EQ and compression. I would make sure that the tracks, the levels were right and everything sounded good. I'd remove background noise, things like that. I really wasn't very good at that when I started. I knew a little bit, but I got better over time through practice. So these are the kinds of things that a podcast editor can do for you. Just making sure that it's a polished show that sounds good. Hopefully people won't notice any major mistakes that happen during the recording. They'll also handle the mixing and the mastering. And this all lets you focus on other things. It'll save you time and you can focus on coming up with great content, with writing, with engaging with your audience, planning out new shows, new ideas. And hopefully, if you find the right editor, they can actually do the job of editing, mixing, and mastering better than you can. Now, there's a few other tasks that I think an editor could help you with, and it's kind of, I'm not sure if it's in the same realm as editing, but what I ended up doing for a lot of my clients was writing basic show notes, so descriptions, getting links to stuff talked about in the episode, and then handling like uploading the files to the website or to the hosting server, tagging the MP3, all those kind of things. So I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. But I put together a list of questions to ask yourself and a few things that you need to know when you're ready to start looking for a podcast editor. Now, number one, what do you need help with? It's important to clearly understand and define what responsibilities you would like to hand over to your editor. What are your expectations? What do you want help with? What would you like to hand off to someone else? So write down a list of all the things you can think of that you'd like someone else to do for you. Now, depending on your budget, you might be able to find someone who is willing to help with the administrative tasks like tagging the files, uploading them to your site or hosting service, and writing show notes in addition to handling editing the show. And I got a great question from Corey in the chat room. He asks, how do you find a podcast editor? You were the first one I had ever heard of, but I'm assuming it's not an exploding job position. How can I make sure I get the best and not just some schmuck with an audio editor? Now, this is a great question, and the truth is, I don't have a great answer for you because I actually used to be some schmuck with an audio editor. I taught myself the basics of Logic Pro 9 back in 2012, and that's really the first show I ever got paid to do was the Shop Talk show. But at the time, I'd only edited, I think, somewhere between 5 and 20 episodes of a podcast. I started with some friends, total amateur stuff. But I knew the basics. I barely knew anything. But I came into it with the desire to help in any way I could and to try to make the show better, try to make it sound better, try to make it more polished. That's going to be the hardest thing, is finding someone who genuinely cares about podcasts. There's a few services online. If you just Google podcast editor, you'll see some of these services. And they offer all the stuff I'm going to talk about today, all the stuff I've already mentioned. Some of them have prices on the website. Some of them ask you for a custom quote, which is totally fine because really every podcaster has different needs. Every podcaster kind of wants something different. They're doing something a little bit unique with their show. So it's hard to just throw a number out there when it comes to budget and money. But finding a podcast editor, I do think that you can just put something out on social media, say, hey, I'd like some help with my podcast, see who responds. You could also run some Google searches for podcast editor. I can't say personally I would recommend using something like Odesk or freelancer.com, but that's certainly an option. You're going to get what you pay for, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about that a little bit later. But it's really weird because I'd never heard of a podcast editor before. I didn't really even know that was a job. I kind of made it my job, and to really do it the way that I did it, it was a combination of audio editing, mixing and mastering skills, knowing what goes into a good podcast, knowing how to edit for content, edit for mistakes, web design skills, so basic things like, you know, writing markdown in HTML, and then also just an intense focus on having a good relationship with the people that I work with and finding out what they need help with and solving their problems for them. So, yeah, I wish I had a better answer, but it is what it is. Let's go ahead to number two. So number two, do you have an editing style that you like? And what I mean by this is, okay, start by writing down a list of the podcasts that you love. Do you want your show to sound like them? And most of the editing I did was just polishing, so cutting out filler words, mistakes, long pauses. But you need to know what the general feel of your show is going to be. Are you going to try to make it more like an NPR show with a lot of storytelling, a lot of music in the background? Are you going to make it more just like a straight up interview show where you jump on and you talk to someone, you just want it to be a conversation that flows naturally and you don't need a lot of editing out of it? I think it's really, really important. You need to know what kind of editing style you like. I'm going to talk about jump cuts here for a minute. Some of you might be familiar with jump cuts on YouTube. This is a very popular style of editing for video where the person will cut up every little bit of silence. So it's just like rapid fire, boom, 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 boom. Here's the person talking. They'll switch. There's really no space in between the sentences, between the words. There's no pauses. I think that's okay for YouTube. I don't like hearing that on podcasts. I just wanted to throw that in so you guys know. I don't like when inhales are taking out, when it's just very, very choppy. But that's an opinion. That's just my opinion. You might have a different opinion. Your listeners might too. Figure out what works best for you. But if you want some of your content trimmed down, just ask yourself why. And make sure you can clearly explain that to your podcast editor. And Brian asked a relevant question. Does the content creator have any creative direction in the editing? Of course. You can totally have any creative direction that you want. You can talk to your podcast editor about that. But if you record a 40-minute show and you want it trimmed down to 20 minutes, your editor needs to have a clear understanding of which content you want them to cut and why. You'll probably need to work closely with them for a while to explain your vision for your show. You might also need to provide them with detailed notes about what kinds of things need to be cut and what kinds of things need to be left in. On that note, I'm going to say that I'm opposed to cutting good content just to meet a certain time limit. If it's good content, it's good content. If it's relevant to the topic of the show or it's funny, leave it in there. If you go completely off track and completely off the rails, and later you kind of regret it and you say, well, I wish we kind of gone on that tangent, that was kind of pointless. Or if you throw some jokes out there and they don't really land, feel free to cut that. I think a good editor will have instincts about that, but you need to let them know, hey, if we really go off subject here or at this particular point in the podcast, we started talking about this and that's not relevant, we don't need that in the show. Just make a note of that, send it to them, and over time, they'll start knowing what kinds of things you like left in and what kinds of things that you want cut out. But just know that if you're going to have someone do a lot of that kind of more detailed editing for content, you're probably going to end up paying more because it is more time consuming than just cleaning up and polishing. Okay, number three. What experience does this person have? What experience does the podcast editor have or the potential podcast editor? Robert asks, if the prospective editor has sample work available for review, how does a layperson know what part of the podcast quality is due to good editing versus good equipment or production value? This is kind of hard to know because if you have a show and you've got a lot of great gear and you've got a good recording setup, you've got a good room to record in, you record clean levels of audio, then the person editing the show might not end up doing a bunch of mixing and mastering. They won't have to because you've already sent them really clean files. But they may end up having to cut out a bunch of content, or they may end up having to cut out a bunch of filler words, or if you stuttered, or if there were Skype drops, if they were interviewing someone over Skype and it dropped out, they have to trim that stuff together. So it's hard to say. It's hard to know just by listening to a show. I think having a conversation is the best way to get a feel for how much experience someone has. You should ask this person about their experience with podcasts, audio, and editing. So ask them why they got started or why they're interested in editing podcasts. You know, when did they first start learning about mixing and mastering? Ask them if they have headphones or studio monitors for mixing, because even anyone brand new to editing audio or trying to produce music or anything like that will know that to accurately mix and master a track, you need to have headphones made for mixing and mastering, which are different than just normal consumer brand headphones. So ask them about that. Ask them if they've edited podcasts before, or if they've edited a bunch of music or produced albums. All that kind of stuff does translate. Ask them if they listen to a lot of podcasts. This is huge. If you get someone that maybe works in a studio and produces mixes and masters music all the time, they might be able to make your podcast sound really good, but they may not know what kinds of things to cut out, what kinds of things to leave in. Timing, there's just a lot of factors. So I think the more podcasts someone listens to, the more they understand how podcasts should be edited. Ask them what program they use for editing. Hopefully it's something like Logic Pro, Audition, or Pro Tools. And, you know, and if someone's really determined, they can edit a lot of podcasts in GarageBand. But I think that anyone who edits any number of podcasts in GarageBand will quickly get frustrated by some of the limitations of it. But again, it is possible if someone's new to it, if they're getting into it, you know, maybe give them a chance and see how they do. they'll probably end up upgrading at some point. But ask them if they know how to use plugins like EQ, compressors, noise gates, things like that. Ask them if they know how to fix problems in tracks, like if a track's too quiet or too loud, what do they do to solve that? How would they remove background noise from the track? What would happen if there was a bunch of echo in the track? How would they work with that? Are they familiar with the different kinds of file types that they'll be working with? There was one time where someone sent me a file that was recorded on a Windows machine. It was a .wma file, and it wouldn't import into Logic. I couldn't get it into the project to do editing on, so I had to go and download a program called VLC to convert that audio file to a .wav format, which I could then use for editing. So it's little problems like that that your editor will need to know how to solve. So another big thing is, do they know how to convert a split stereo track into two separate audio files? So some of the Skype call recorders will record a split stereo track, and that's one person's voice on the left channel, the guest voice on the right channel, and you can actually split that inside of your audio program into two separate mono tracks, which then you can do individual mixing and mastering on, and you can edit them separately. So that's really, really great. It's good to know that kind of stuff. And so just have that conversation. Let them talk about their experience. Let them talk about why they want to do this. Hopefully it's they want to help you produce a good show and not, well, you know, this is just my job. This is just what I do. That's fine too. But that desire to do a good job, I think, is going to be the start of a good relationship for you, hopefully. Number four, are you set up to give this person access to your website or file hosting account? So there's a lot of websites or podcasting services that will let you create accounts for other users. So this is really great if you end up having someone help you with not just the editing, but also the show notes, uploading the file, tagging the MP3s. So all those kind of things. There's a lot of little admin work that you can hand off to people to save you time every week. So you need to know if that's something you want to invest in, if it's something that person is willing to do, if you can create an admin account for them so they can access it. This might be something you do a little bit further down the road after you've gotten to know the person and you know that they know what they're doing, but you should have that conversation with them up front. Ask them if they're familiar with it. You know, do they know how to tag files? Do they know how to write show notes? Are they interested in that? Do they know Markdown or HTML for writing show notes? Are they familiar with using WordPress, Squarespace, Simplecast, or whatever other hosting service you're using? Just have that conversation and know that you can save a lot of time by having someone handle that stuff for you. All right, so number five, how much does this cost? I gotta speak from experience here because I've seen a lot of different services online, and I'm sure there's a very, very wide range of what you can pay someone. I'm sure if you go somewhere like Odesk, you'll find people offering to edit your show for $5 or $10 an hour. And if you go to a local audio engineer or professional, they may charge $50 to $150, $300 an hour. There's just, I'm sure, a huge, huge range of what people charge. But I want to speak from my experience real quick. When I started editing podcasts back in 2012, it wasn't my full-time gig. It was just something I was doing on the side on the weekends. My day job at the time was helping, you know, a variety of different people make websites and graphics. I was kind of working like intern level, not even really junior level, but intern level. I was making $15 or so an hour doing that. And that was a struggle. Like, I was barely covering bills. But I was young. I was hustling. It was fine. I was learning stuff. I was having fun. It was exciting. And my goal with editing podcasts wasn't really to get rich. But I knew that I could eventually turn it into some kind of job. I needed to make enough money to pay the bills. At the time, I didn't really understand how to pay taxes, and that came back and bit me later. But I knew that I needed to save some money for taxes, and I needed to save some money, you know, for the future. So when I started, I was charging between $50 and $100 an episode. And I don't really feel now that that was a sustainable amount, because it would take me a couple hours to edit each show and do the show notes. But what I wasn't taking into consideration was the admin work that came along with that. So, and plus with editing, it was really hard to do more than about two or three shows per day, because it is a lot of sitting down, it is working, but there's a lot of admin work that comes along with it, and I don't want to be sitting in front of a computer for 10 to 12 hours a day necessarily. I like taking breaks. I like going out and exercising. But so what happened was I was spending a lot of time on the other business type admin stuff. So sending invoices, emailing people, talking to potential new clients, answering people's questions over email, over Skype, you know, helping my clients out with their setups, with any issues that they had. There were just a lot of things that I wasn't really billing for. So I would bill someone for the time that I thought it would take to just edit a show. So maybe an hour or two of my time, but I would end up working another 2 or 3 hours on top of that. So I was really, really charging about half of what I should have been to make this sustainable long-term. I wasn't, and I still don't actually have health insurance. Hopefully I'll change that soon. But I wasn't paying or saving for that. I wasn't saving for vacations or even time off. And this, I think, is really unhealthy. I joke with my friends a lot that I haven't really taken a day off in the past year. And that's not entirely true, but it's not that far from the truth. And I don't know if it's just because I like the hustle. I think a lot of it is that there's some stress there. When you work for yourself, you feel like you always have to be working because you have to go out there and you have to make money to pay your bills. Eventually, I realized that I hadn't really factored in time off into what I was charging people. So I should have thought about, okay, this is how much I need to make per week, but I need to plan to make enough so that I don't have to work Saturdays and Sundays, so that every 6 months I can take a week or two off. I wasn't thinking about that. It was just an experience. But eventually I realized that I did need to raise my rates and start planning for that stuff. And I did raise my rates, but I don't think I did it soon enough. And I think if I was going to get back into client work, if I was going to, some of you may not realize this, but I just got hired by my friend Sean McCabe to be the full-time podcast editor for his network, which means that I'm not going to be working with clients anymore. I'm not going to be taking on new clients. I'm going to hand off a lot of the responsibilities to a friend that I have that's interested in doing this. But anyways, so if I was going to get back into helping people edit podcasts, I would start charging somewhere along the lines of $150 an hour or something like $300 per episode. And this depends. And depending on where you are in your life right now, that might sound like a ton of money, or it might sound like not very much money at all. But I'm not trying to get rich with this stuff, but I would like to make 40 or 50 grand a year so I can live comfortably where I am in Texas here and also save money and invest in my future, put some money in retirement, pay for healthcare, have some money to go out and spend on the weekends and not have to work 60 or 70 hours a week just to feel comfortable. But in short, I would charge more and work with fewer clients, because what happened was that charging a lower rate meant that I was taking on more clients to try to make more money, which distracted me from focusing on doing the best work for the clients that I had. And I'm telling you this because it was my experience, and I want you to understand that you really do get what you pay for. You can probably find a cheap assistant online or a local college student with a little bit of experience that can help you with this stuff. But if you are focusing on just paying the minimum amount of money that you can find, that person may end up looking for other sources of income, or they might rush through your work to try to get it done faster, to try to save time. And chances are they're going to be distracted because they're going to be worried about how much money they're making. So if the person you're talking to, let's say you put something out on Twitter and you say, hey, I'm looking for help with my podcast, and someone gets in touch with you and they want to help, they may not know how much to charge. They may ask you, how much are you paying? Ask them to estimate the time they think they'll end up spending on each episode and how much they'd like to make per project, and then add 50% to that. Because I'm guessing if this is someone new to freelancing, if this is someone who doesn't have a lot of experience with running their own business, with paying taxes, with saving for the future in healthcare, they might underestimate how much they need to make to stay happy, to feel like they're getting a fair deal, and to not have to rush through each episode because they're worried about how much money they're wasting by really taking the time to do a good job. But a lot of it's communication. Sean asked me in the chat, what would you say to someone who got a cold email from a podcast editor whose rate is in the range that they can afford? Should they go with them because the rate is something they could afford, or should they be more critical? This on the surface, this does sound good. You know, see what they're offering, see what they can do for you. And then I would say, try it out. More importantly, have a conversation. Talk to this person. What impression do you get from this person? Do they seem to like your show? Do they genuinely show an interest? Are they a regular listener? You know, I reached out to the Shop Talk show because I was a regular listener and I wanted to help them make it better. So I was invested in making that show better, not just for them or the money, but for myself, because I enjoyed it and I wanted to help. That's something to think about. If a podcast editor, if you're just a checkbook to them, if you're just dollar signs, then I don't think they're going to do as good of a job as someone who really genuinely cares about making good podcasts. But talk to them. See what they have to say. Ask them the questions I mentioned earlier about what's their experience. You know, are they going to be hiring? Are they going to be working on your show? Or are they going to be outsourcing it to somebody overseas? These are important things. If you get a good feeling from talking to them, send them your show, get set up, ask them for a trial run, and then see how they do. Does the audio quality sound better than what you sent to them? That's a good indication, right? Can they handle show notes and the admin work in a way that saves you time and works for you? So those are just some things to think of. But every podcaster has different needs. Every podcaster, like I said earlier, all the shows are different. So you got to talk to them. You got to figure out what your needs are and if they can help you with them. All right, number 6, what is your record and release schedule? I think consistency is really, really important for building an audience. It shows people that you're going to show up every week, you're going to put something out, or every other week, whatever your release schedule is. But it's important for your audience and even for you, because I think it helps you get into a groove of, this is a thing that I do, I'm going to show up every week, I'm going to invest the time that it takes, I'm going to block that off on my schedule, and that's important. This is a priority to me. So that's consistency. But it's also really important when you're working with podcast editors. Robert asked, how do you establish expectations like turnaround time? And what do you do if the editor doesn't really meet those expectations? So this is all about communication. So you need to clearly communicate when you're going to record, when you're going to give your editor the files, and when you need the finished show file back from them. Because your editor needs time to edit the show and send you a file. And this is especially true if you're working with someone that has a full-time job, if they're just helping you with this on the side, or if it's someone that's going to college, if they're a college student. There's just a lot of different factors. But I told people, when I started, I could turn around a show, and sometimes it's still true, I could turn around a show in a day or two. After I started getting more and more clients, I had to start telling people that I needed at least 4 business days to get their shows back to them. And I say, I think that 3 or 4 days is pretty good, because that gives someone time to schedule out, okay, I need this evening to edit the show and send it back. But this has a lot to do with your record and release schedule. If you record shows on Monday and you want to publish on Friday, then you need to find someone that has time during the week to edit your show. If the person can only work on the weekends, that's probably not going to be a good fit for you unless you can record in advance. So communication is really, really important here. You want to make sure that you can send them the file, give them some time, a couple of days to edit the file, send it back to you, and then also have some time for revisions, because mistakes happen. Maybe something will need to get changed for whatever reason. There's a lot of different factors that go into it. And then 7, how are you going to share these files with your editor? There are a lot of different file sharing services, a lot of options for getting files from one person to another, but I really like Dropbox and Google Drive. I think a lot of people are already using these services, and they're a very easy way to sync and share files. And I'm going to talk a little bit in a second about organizing those files, because that's really, really important too. But I think Dropbox gives you 2 gigabytes of free storage at first, which is fine for most shows. That's probably maybe 1 or 2 episodes at a time in there. Google Drive gives you, I think it's 15 gigabytes, which is a little bit more. And then if you want more storage, you have to pay those services. But if you want a free service that kind of works like that, you should check out BitSync. BitSync is done by the guys that did BitTorrent, the company, I guess. And it works kind of like Dropbox, but you don't have to pay for the storage space. Basically, you'll download this program and you'll set up a folder on your computer, and then you'll share that folder with your co-host or with your podcast editor. And it will sync any files that you put in there to an identical folder on the other person's hard drive. So that's really cool. But you got to organize these files, because otherwise podcast files can turn into a mess really, really quickly. So I came up with a system I'm going to go over with you real quick. This just makes it easier for organization, for finding things. It makes it easier for your editor. So you got your main folder, right? And you can call that whatever, you know, the business podcast. Inside of that, I recommend four folders. One for raw audio files, one for finished files, one for show notes, and one for the other assets. So first, inside of the raw audio folder, you're going to want to create folders for each episode. So episode one, episode two, you can just title them numerically, one, two, three, and so on. So that's where you drop any of the audio files for that episode. And titling is kind of important too. Make sure that you title your files. And if you just have one really, really long file, that's a little bit easier. You can just put the number of the episode on it along with your name, so your editor knows whose track is who. You know, you could have John, you could have Sarah, you could have guest one, guest two, stuff like that. If you have a bunch of different sections, it's important to label those sections clearly. So like intro, outro, main interview, pre-show, and then also the name of the person who's on the track. So that's really, really important. And then put the music files, anything that's going to be used repeatedly, put that stuff in the other assets folder. So, and then you've got a folder for finished show files. So this is where your audio editor will put the final MP3 file that they bounce out after they've done the editing. And then also a folder for show notes. And depending on if that person is helping you with the show notes, they may put files in there, or you might put files in there. But it's just easier to have everything in one place rather than to have it all spread out all over the place on your hard drive or somewhere online. Organization is really, really key. And also, if you need to create any episode-specific notes for your editor or for your show note writer, just create a text file and include them in the episode folder. And don't assume that your editor is going to see or read those notes. It's probably also a good idea to email them a copy of that text file. And also make sure you clearly communicate when you have all the files uploaded that your editor will need to finish the show, when they're synced and when they're ready to go. Let them know. Don't assume that they're going to see it. Probably a good idea to email them or send them an instant message or text message and say, hey, all the files are ready for this episode. You can go ahead and start working on it. And then hopefully they'll reply back to you and say, okay, got it. All right, number eight. What do you want the file format to be? So this is the MP3 file that your podcast editor is going to send you. Most podcasts end up being MP3 files after editing is done. That's the standard. But you have a couple of choices. You could get a mono file or a stereo file. I think for most podcasts, mono is okay. So you can ask your podcast editor, even if you send them stereo files, they can convert it to a mono file and bounce out the whole show. And unless you're doing a show that has a lot of music, unless it's kind of music focused, I think mono is fine. And the final file will be smaller, which is a good thing in most circumstances. It'll download faster. It'll be better for your foreign audiences, because a lot of people in other countries don't have unlimited bandwidth. They don't have unlimited internet like we do here in the States. So they may pay per megabyte. So if you've got a bigger podcast file, they're literally paying more to get your show. I don't think that's the right use of the word literally, but whatever. The other thing is the bit rate. So kilobytes per second, kilobits per second. I never did figure that out, but this has a lot to do with audio quality. So you can bounce out at 64 kilobytes per second, 96 or 128. You can go as high as 256, but The sweet spot for file size and audio quality is between 64 and 128. If you go any lower than 64 kilobytes per second, you're going to notice a significant degradation. That's a fun word. In the sound quality. So I wouldn't go lower than 64. I think that's pretty solid. If you record in high quality wave, if you have good microphones and a clean audio recording and all your tracks are high quality to start with, then you can bounce out at 64 kilobytes per second and it's still going to sound really, really good. It's just a little bit more compressed than 96 or 128. I really like 96 kilobytes per second for most shows. I think it's a sweet spot between file size and audio quality. I don't know if I explained this yet, but 64 kilobytes per second is half the size of 128. So you're going to have, if you have two identical podcasts and one is bounced out in mono at 128 kilobytes per second, maybe it's 60 megabytes for an hour. That same file, if you bounce it out at 64, will be 30 megabytes. You'll get a little less sound quality, but it's up to you to decide which you want. You know, do you want a much higher sound quality but a bigger audio file, or do you want, are you okay with a little bit less sound quality but ending up with a much smaller file? So that's just something you need to consider. Number nine, 9 of 10, how will you handle revisions? Robert asked, man, Robert's on fire today. He had a bunch of great questions in the chat. Thank you, Robert. I appreciate that. He asked, how many iterations are typically acceptable? Is it one or done, or do most editors accept one or more iterations from the content creator? This is going to depend for every editor, for every podcaster, but I can speak from my own experience. As a podcast editor, I tried to get every podcast 100% perfect the first time, but sometimes changes still had to be made. And this actually, this put stress on me because when I started, I didn't really have a system for charging my clients for additional work. When I started editing podcasts, I was charging per project. So they'd send me a show every week. I said, okay, this would be $100. And if it took me an hour, great, I made $100. If it took me 3 hours, I made $100. You know, I didn't have a system in place for saying, okay, if there's going to be a ton more editing or if there's going to be a bunch of revisions that you have to make, like if you want me to send you a draft and then you're going to come back and tell me that you want this and this and this and this and this cut out, I didn't plan for that. So that caused me some stress because basically I was losing money every time I was spending more than the time that I had estimated or allotted. And I remember there were multiple times where I ended up spending 3 or 4 hours on a podcast episode because there was a guest that was uncomfortable with talking or there just needed to be a lot of editing. And that, you know, I really only had planned to spend an hour on that show. That's what I charged the client for. So it's okay to ask for revisions. Just make sure that you either have a system for compensating your editor if that happens or that you're just paying them enough to where it's not a big deal to them. And you're going to have to talk to them about this because nothing is worse than spending 3 hours on a project that should have only taken an hour. If you do this repeatedly over time, this is how people get burnt out because you're doing a bunch of extra work and you're not making the amount of money that you were expecting to make. So if you do need revisions also, explain why so that your editor knows if they can, so maybe they can do something differently next time. So if you want every single cut out and you don't tell them that up front, and then you come back and say, well, there were a bunch of here that I'd like you to cut out, that person, your editor, may not have anticipated that up front, so they may not be charging you enough. So if you know, if you send them a file that you know is going to take a bunch of extra work, I would recommend offering to pay a higher rate and say, hey, I understand that you charged me this much per project, but I know that this one's going to take an extra amount of time. Here's what the requirements are. Is this enough? Just have a good relationship with your podcast editor and understand that mistakes are going to happen. No one's perfect. So expect that sometimes there might be something that your editor missed or did wrong, and you need to communicate and let them know if it's something they can address in the future, if it's your fault, if it's not a big deal, talk to them. If you think it's going to take a lot of time, offer to pay them a little bit extra, ask them if they would like some additional compensation. And when it happens, just address it calmly and try to learn from it, try to move forward. All right, number 10, last one. How are you going to pay them? I think PayPal is probably the most common way people send money on the internet. There's, if you're in the States, I think you could use Square Cash. I always invoice my clients with an online service called Harvest. And Harvest was a time tracking service that also allows you to send invoices, keep track of all your clients. It was really, really nice. And what I did is I hooked up PayPal and Stripe, which is a payment processing platform. But I hooked that into Harvest so I would send my clients an email invoice and they could pay either using PayPal or Stripe, which would allow them to use credit cards, which that was pretty nice. So, but if you're overseas, I'm not sure how Stripe handles overseas clients. I think it's possible, but I believe PayPal is available for most countries. So that's, if you're working with someone overseas, that's just something to be aware of. Just have that conversation with them. But also, you should agree on payment scheduling beforehand. So ask them if they would prefer to be paid per episode, per week, monthly. I know for me, I was doing so many shows per week that it ended up being easier for me to bill monthly rather than every single time I finished an episode. Because if I was doing 10 episodes a week, that's a lot of invoices to send out. That's a lot of time that I was investing in sending invoices that I really didn't need to be. I could just keep a list of the shows I did and then send out at the end of the month. So just have that conversation. All right. So there's a lot of things. I hope some of this was helpful to you. I hope this gave you an idea about how to approach looking for a podcast editor, how to talk to them, how to build a relationship with them. So I want to go back over some of the things I think that are really, really important for you to understand, just kind of as a recap before I wrap up the show. It's important to clearly understand and define what responsibilities you would like to hand over to your editor. Communication is key. Invest time and money in your editor, and hopefully they will take care of you. You get what you pay for. Don't expect to get great work out of someone if you're paying them minimum wage. And hopefully you can invest in paying someone well and allowing them to grow their skills and develop as a podcast editor and get better over time. Make sure you clearly communicate when you're going to record, when you're going to give your editor your files, and when you need to finish show files back from them. And also communicate when you have the files uploaded, synced, and ready to go. If you do need revisions, explain why so that your editor knows what to do differently next time. And as much as you can, document what your needs are so that if you need to find a different editor at some point, you can send them that relevant information and hopefully save a little bit of time. All right, that's it for the show today. I hope this was helpful to you. Let me know if you have any questions. You can send them to aaron@thepodcastdude.com. I got to mention real quick, if you appreciate that the show does not have any sponsors, then consider joining the Sean West community. It's a really, really awesome place. I stream live to it every Monday at 10:30 Central Time. It's a lot of fun. We have a good time. Yeah, like I can't recommend it enough. Also, if you could do me a huge, huge favor, if you've been enjoying the show, if this has been helping you, then consider going to iTunes and leaving me a review. And you can go to www.thepodcastdude.com/iTunes. That'll redirect you. Just leave me a review. Tell me what it's helped you with. It helps other people find the show. And it helps me feel like there are actually people out there listening. And I know that there are, but sometimes podcasting, you get a little bit lonely. I like to know that I'm helping people. That's what I'm doing here. I'm trying to provide you guys with value. So if you could do that for me, I'll be eternally grateful. You know, drop me a line and say hi. I really, really appreciate you guys for showing up. That'll be it for today's show. I think next week I'm going to be doing a show on how to be better at speaking, because I've got a couple of questions about that, and it's something I'm personally interested in. So if you've got any questions about that, send them to my email, aaron@thepodcastdude.com. All right, until next time, have a good week. All right, cool. I don't have any questions for you guys today in the after show, but I did want to mention, I have something to tell you. I have something to confess. This is actually the second time I did this show. And what I mean by that is, it is now 12:45 on a Monday. I streamed the show live at 10:30, and I forgot to hit record in Logic. So I streamed for an hour, and I didn't save anything. And this is really, really frustrating. You can just imagine the look of horror on my face when I switched over to Logic and realized that I wasn't recording. It was an hour of content just gone. But this is going to happen at some point. Mistakes are going to be made. I'm going to try to avoid this in the future. I'm working on creating checklists for myself to help me kind of systematize what I do. But yeah, I don't know. It happens. Sometimes you make mistakes. Sometimes you mess up and forget to record in Logic. It's not a mistake I should be making. I should know better, but I'm just a person like anybody else. I make mistakes too. But the takeaway for this is that you just have to keep going. You have to push through. Sometimes you're going to make mistakes. Sometimes you're going to mess up. Don't give up. You can do it. And that's my motivational talk for today. Thank you guys for listening. I will see you next week.